The first reading is Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from Proverbs, chapter 4, beginning at verse 10. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom, and I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of the instruction, do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it, do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from your crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As we remain seated, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that gives us wisdom. We pray that we may accept this word and not just hear it, but do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning and welcome to St. John's. We're in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4, and as we've been saying week by week, this book is written largely by King Solomon, although King Lemuel and King Agar also contributed some of the Proverbs. And the reason why is because when Solomon was about to be made king, God came to him in a dream and said, Solomon, Solomon, you're about to become a king of Israel, a great people, a chosen people, an elect nation, a people that I rescued out of darkness and brought them into light. A people that I brought out of slavery into freedom, out of Egypt, and into the promised land. Now, Solomon, ask of me, and I'll give you whatever you want. And Solomon said, I am but a man, a mortal, a brute, because I am dust, and to dust I will return. I am ignorant of the future. I only possess the finite wisdom of the world. and I do not have the wisdom of heaven. And I'm lost. I don't know how to carry out my duties. I don't know right from wrong. How can I know the end from the beginning? I don't know my right hand from my left. For who can distinguish between right and wrong? So give me wisdom, so that I can see distinctions, so I can observe the way of the world and understand the crooked ways of crooked men, so I can pay attention to the natural order and the moral order, so I can discriminate between the narrow path that leads to life and the broad path that leads to death. So I am able then to govern this great people of yours. And God said, since you've asked for that, and you did not ask for long life or wealth for yourself or for the destruction of your enemies, I'll give you what you've asked for. I'll give you a wise and discerning heart so that there'll never be anyone like you ever again. And on top of this, I'll give you what you have not asked for. I'll give you both wealth and honor and long life. And you'll remember what Solomon did. He began to study the Torah. He began to study the law and to immerse himself in the Word of God. Because that's where wisdom comes from. Wisdom comes from the Word of God. And you can only obtain this wisdom if you study the Word of God and you hear the Word of God. Because as Solomon read the Torah and as you sit under the Scriptures, what happens is that your common sense begins to be molded. And you begin to see and understand what your place is in this world. And so Solomon understood that he was a creature and not the creator. He began to see that the Lord, he is God, and that is he who has made us, are not we ourselves. And so Solomon learned that the first step in becoming wise is to allow God to define you. When you allow that happens, you do not set about the foolish path of trying to define yourself. And of course, as I said, this made Solomon humble. Well, it would do, wouldn't it? It would make you humble. For if you come to the point where you understand that on a second-by-second basis, that your life is not your life. Doesn't belong to you. That the breath in your nostrils is not your breath. But it is given to you moment by moment by the grace of God. And he can withdraw it at any second. And if you understood this, you would be humbled. And you would want to learn more about this God, your creator. And so that's what happened to Solomon. And he, first of all, he began to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And not his own kingdom and his own righteousness. He began to seek God's kingdom. It meant, therefore, that he lived to magnify God's name and not his own name. It meant that he wanted to find out what God's will was and to do that. And not to spend his life doing what he wanted to do. And so, like John the Baptist, who came after him, he began to say, I must decrease, he must increase. And so as Solomon grew in his knowledge of God, he began to teach his sons, his grandsons, his people, his nation. And in order to prompt the princes and the heads of the tribes and the heads of the families to fall in love with wisdom, he depicts wisdom as female, Lady Wisdom. And of course, we've met her in these sermon series up until now. We've met Lady Wisdom. She's crying out and saying, "Listen to me, pay attention to my words. My son, obey my instructions. Do not be wise in your own eyes. For my wisdom is more profitable than silver and yields a better return than gold. It'll be nourishment to your flesh and health to your bones." And she's been saying this over and over and over again. But today, in our text today, she goes one step further. Because she doesn't just say, "Listen to me." She says, "Accept what I say." So she's not just saying, "Listen." She's been saying that. She's now saying, "Accept what I say," which means make a decision. Make a decision. Resolve in your heart to follow me. Don't delay. And of course, Lady Wisdom is speaking so urgently because she's standing at the city gates. And she's calling out to us ever before we enter the city. And she's saying, "Listen to me, accept what I say." Why? Because in the city is Dame Folly. If you go into the city without having embraced Lady Wisdom, you will embrace Dame Folly. Don't think you can be neutral in this. And Dame Folly is gorgeous. She's seductive and inviting and fun. And so Lady Wisdom is saying to us, before you go into the city, embrace me. Because if you haven't embraced me, you will embrace Dame Folly. You can't be neutral. And you see, this is so urgent because it's so easy and so tempting just to sit and listen, isn't it? To sit and listen and listen and listen and listen and never make a decision. Never resolve. You can listen for years and never make a decision. It's even possible to sit and listen and to think, "Yes, what Lady Wisdom is saying is correct. What she's saying is true. I know there's a narrow path that leads to life. I know there's a broad path that leads to death. In fact, kind of knowing about this makes me feel somewhat secure. But I'm not going to commit. I'm just going to stay and listen." And you know, so long as you never commit, the enemy of your souls loves it. Satan loves it when people listen and listen and listen and never commit. You know, once, some years ago, there was a parishioner of mine. She came to church every Sunday, and there came a time at the door that as she was going out, she said to me, you know, I love coming to church. I love singing the hymns. I love meeting my friends." She even said, "I love hearing you speak," which was nice. She said, "You should have been an actor." But she said, "You know, I can't accept it." What you're saying is not for me. Not now. Later. When? People have said, "On my deathbed. On my deathbed, I'll accept wisdom, but I'm going to live my life now as I wish." And it was shocking to me, really. Quite shocking. I mean, you just a word of advice, you shouldn't really tell clergy that sort of stuff. We get upset. But I shouldn't have been surprised, because as you read the Bible, you discover this sort of thing happening over and over again. On Thursday was John the Baptist Day. This church is dedicated to John the Baptist. He was Jesus' first cousin, so I began to read up a bit about him. He was the last prophet of the Old Testament. And he was there in order to prepare the nation of Israel for the coming of Jesus. He was there to turn the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. And the king of Israel at the time was Herod Antipas. Now, he was a fool. And he divorced his wife in order to set up with his brother's wife, called Herodias, and she divorced Philip to marry Herod. I guess they felt that love was love, that they'd all live happily ever after, no matter the trail of devastation they left behind them. And they probably thought that what we do in our private lives is no one else's business. And there was John the Baptist, and he was saying, this is not the way of wisdom. This is not the path that's going to lead you to life. This is the path that's going to lead you to death. Because in the beginning, it was not so. In the beginning, there were two complementary biological individuals, and the two became one flesh. And the problem here, Herod, is that there are four of you. And he kept on saying it. And Herodias said, I'm going to kill him. So Herod, in order to protect John the Baptist from her assassins, puts him in prison to keep him safe. And there, even in the prison, it amazes me, and even in the prison, John wouldn't shut up. He kept on saying, be wise. Narrow is the path that leads to life. Broad is the path that leads to destruction. Herod, what you're doing is not lawful. It may be lawful in the eyes of men. It is not lawful in the eyes of God. And we are told, this is astonishing, that Herod used to go down into the prison to listen to him. We're told that Herod listened to John gladly. In other words, I guess, I'm trying to get into the psychology here. I guess when Herod went down into the prison and listened to John the Baptist preaching at him, I guess he kind of felt, well, yeah, it's true. What he's saying is true, and that what you're saying, John, is resonating in my heart, in my soul. I know I should never have ditched the princess of a neighboring kingdom. I know that was a high-risk strategy, and it could result in war. Hundreds of men are going to die because of my lust and my foolishness. What you're saying, John, is right. All because of my lust. All because of my ego. All because of my desires and me wanting to do what I wanted to do and becoming king of my own life. And Herod would sit there and listen and listen and listen. Never make a decision. And then he'd go away into the court, back to the fun, the bright lights, the drink, the dancing, Salome. And he never personally embraced this wisdom. He never accepted it. And in the end, as you all know the story, he was utterly shamed and completely ruined. He became the laughingstock of Judea and all of Rome. And he died in exile. And so Paul tells us you can always listening, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. Never committing, never deciding. And so here is wisdom saying, my son, accept what I say. My friends, have you accepted this? Have you come to that moment in your life where you've turned to Christ and say, I accept you into my life, I'm going to follow you because you are wisdom. You are the way, the truth, the life. You are wisdom in the flesh. You came down from heaven. You see the end from the beginning. You know right from wrong. I know nothing. Teach me, Lord. And so what happens is, of course, once you've admitted that you're a fool and that you know little, what happens then is you've entered the gate, haven't you? Jesus said, this gate, you know, go through a narrow path. You've entered the gate. Now you're on the path. And in our text this morning, there's this great emphasis on a path. It mentions paths, it mentions way, it mentions walking. In other words, what Proverbs is saying is once you've accepted wisdom, you're now on a path. And this path is long. This path is going to last a lifetime. It could last 80, 90 years. For you're on this path until you breathe your last breath. You're never off this path. And it's really important to understand this, that this is a narrow path. It's arduous and it's very, very long. And it's so important that you understand this because sometimes people say to me, they become discouraged, don't they? They become discouraged because they say, you know, I thought wisdom promised all these great things for me. Wisdom promised me gold. Wisdom promised me silver. Wisdom promised me nourishment for my bones. Wisdom said to me that my barns will be full, my vats will be overflowing with Chateau Neuf de Pape. That's what wisdom said. And here I'm walking and walking and walking and walking. And life is hard. And I look at everybody else and, well, their vats are full. Their lives are easy. Their children are all successful. And I'm suffering on this path. And so you think, where is this gold that you promised wisdom? Where are these rubies? Where are my vats of wine? And so you think, perhaps I've been conned. Perhaps I've been taken for a mug. And actually, some critics of the book of Proverbs say precisely this. They say, wisdom promises, but she can't deliver. Have you ever felt like that? As you're going along the Christian path, the Christian way, and all these great promises never, ever seem to come to fruition. If you look at the text today, it's very insistent on this. It says, my friends, dear friends, it says, look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to your path. Do not look to the right or to the left. And when you put these words of advice together, what we're being told is look at the end. Keep your eyes focused on this narrow path. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the end. Don't look to the left. Keep looking forward to the end. Because don't be distracted what you hear around you. Around you, people be eating, drinking, buying and selling, marrying and giving in marriage. But at the end, what is their destination? And so what Proverbs then goes on to say, what Lady Wisdom goes on to say, you've got to remember that there is a way that appears right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. And isn't that where we read in Psalm 1? Psalm 1 wasn't written by Solomon, but Psalm 1 talks about this man walking along a path, and he's walking. And then he stops to listen, but he's listening to the mockers, he's listening to the fools. And he's walking along, and he's listening to them, and then he stops walking, he stands. And then he's listening to them some more. And then eventually he sits with them. And what's happened to him is he's embraced the wisdom of the fool. But, says the psalmist, the terrible thing is that at the end, he'll be blown away like the chaff. But the way of the righteous is not so, says the psalmist. The way of the righteous is like a tree. Now just think of that tree. It could be planted in a terrible dry desert. And the hot wind blows over it. Year after year after year. But all the while its roots are going down and down and down and down. Eventually it finds water. And all of a sudden it springs into life. And its way, its end, is glory. So remember this. One last thing. Make a decision. Walk along this path. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Keep your eyes on the destination, which is glory. It may be difficult and rugged and hard, but the end is heaven. So keep your eyes focused on the end. And then it says, guard your heart. What does that mean? Well, in Hebrew thought, all life comes from the heart. Look. You can see in Hebrew psychology that kind of makes sense, that all life comes from your heart. And if you read that passage in Proverbs 4, it goes into a lot of anatomy. It talks about your ears and your eyes. These are the organs that receive information. And what Solomon is saying is that what you receive in from your eyes and ears, this affects your heart. This affects the disposition. This affects the your orientation. This affects the bent of your heart, what it's leaning to, what you listen to, what you watch, what you hear. And so, says Solomon, do be careful. We've got a terrible, terrible problem in our society of pornography. And it's affecting children. Because what they're seeing and what they're hearing is affecting the disposition of your heart, of their hearts. And they're being set out along the road. And so Solomon says, once you've started on this path, be very careful who you're listening to. Continue to listen to Lady Wisdom. Live a disciplined life. Being careful of what you see and of what you hear, but there's even a greater danger. You know what the greatest danger to your own heart is? It's yourself. Because as John was saying at the very beginning, our hearts themselves are crooked. So what we need to do, what you need to do, what I need to do, when we are being tempted to come off the path, is to start preaching to yourself. To start saying to yourself, there is an end, there is a goal, there is a heaven, there is a hell. And then you need to turn to God and say, Lord, I've got a hard heart. I've got a heart of stone. I need a heart of flesh. So your word goes deep into my heart, and I continue to listen to you all the days of my life. You know, Solomon was the wisest man in the ancient Near East. And as John said, he died a fool. He died a fool because he stopped listening to his own wisdom. And so, my friends, as we're on this path, keep the end in view. Make a decision. Keep the end in view. And guard your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we've learned this morning. We pray that each and every one of us here this will make a decision, will accept the truth of your word. Help us not to be deceived by as Herod was. We pray that we may embrace you. Give us a new heart. Take away our heart of flesh, our heart of stone, we pray, and give us a heart of flesh. In Jesus' name, amen.